You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Worship Team. And you say, well, you said that wrong. No, I'm just from Texas, and that's how we say it, the worship team. It actually came out of an email that I got recently from a lady who was having some challenges in her life, kind email, and she's describing going to churches and things would go great, they'd welcome her, and then they'd find out what kind of challenges they had in their family and in their home, and everybody was out. And this is a line from her email. She says, I would move on to find another church, putting myself out there, singing in the praise and worship team. Now you say, well, clearly it was a typo. I get that. I understood what she meant. Then I got to thinking about what she typed. And as it turns out, it is a worship team. This crew behind me normally, they play instruments, they sing. And you say, well, they're probably just musicians you just brought in from somewhere. Now that happens, okay? There are churches I hear about, they got screaming bands. But they might have some guy pick up his axe up here and play, and then he's smoking weed outside somewhere, and they're just hired guns. I can tell you, because I've been with these people a very long time, they are leading us in worship. And the reason they are able to do that is that they are personally engaged with God. They have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they understand this is not entertainment. So a lot of churches you go to, unfortunately, the music is a part of the entertainment. And it's extraordinary sometimes, a lot of times. But is it worship? And is that what you're really trying to accomplish? Go to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And in Gedi is in the southern part of Israel. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, and this is what it was said about the temple, if disaster comes upon you, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. That's what they were promised. Whatever your situation, you cry out toward the temple. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you gave us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do but our eyes upon you. And I don't know if you're comfortable underlining stuff in your Bible, but that's the stuff you underline, that little phrase. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now you say, well, that's not where I am. It's coming. If you live long enough, you'll be in a situation and you will say, Lord, I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. So the Holy Spirit would come on somebody New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes in and stays. If you're a believer in the Old Testament, he would come on somebody and would go off of somebody. And he said, listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Now, you've got an enemy coming against you. They're soldiers. They're going to fight. They're going to try to kill you. And you've got some guy who the Spirit comes on saying, you will not need to fight in this battle. So usually the night before a battle, you're prepared for battle. And now you're being told you're not going to have to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, though, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now, they still had to go out. You say, so I'm going into battle and I'm not going to have to fight. That's lunacy. Now, I don't want to say this casually. I want to say it very carefully. Sooner or later, God is going to tell you or ask you to do something that everyone in the world is going to tell you is lunacy. If you read in Scripture and he says, do this, trust me, and you take that to the bank, take it to the bank. Okay? You say, well, they're going to think I'm nuts. I would rather God know that I'm not nuts for not trusting him than everybody else in the world think I'm nuts and worry about them. So God usually will tell us to do something that is completely diametrically opposite of what the world will tell you is the answer. Keep reading. Again, 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Twice, the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Okay, so here's our answer. And they know they can't defeat this army, so this is their only hope. And they worship. Verse 19, then the Levites, Levi is the tribe where not all the members of the tribe of Levi were priests, but you couldn't be a priest without coming from this tribe. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of God of Israel with voices loud and high. So this is a specific group of people. And they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they let it rip. Now, I promise you something, and I don't have recordings of all this. We'll hear it when we get to heaven. These people could sing. Because if you're going to pick from amongst any people, a tribe, and you're going to put these people, if you go back and research the Levites and these singers and the people who could play instruments, these were not people who didn't know what they were doing. They practiced. They planned. They were in the temple to have music fill the place. And you say, well, what's your point? Whether it is music, whether it is a job, whether it is a marriage, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. We have a term where people do things half. It is a King James word, but I'm not going to use it. So maybe we're not quite advanced enough for me to use that phrase. Don't do it half anything. Because if you feel like your relationship with God is kind of half whatever, ask yourself if that's about what you're putting into it. Are you chasing him like you want him blessing you? So they sing, voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, now this gets crazy stuff, right? And it's enough that he has said, just go out there, stand still, and God, you won't have to fight the battle. God will take care of you. But then it gets even more bizarre. They went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. So these are people that would sing to the Lord and praise the beauty of holiness specifically. As they went out before the army, and we're saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. No, you think, well, great, the army's going to go out there, they just want to fight. And then Jehoshaphat says, no, we're putting the singers in front of the army. Now, what do you know about singers and people who play instruments? It's hard to play an instrument and wield a sword. That's not what you're trained to do. So what happens to them? So they go out to face the enemy. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And I'll finish that in just a second. So who's your enemy? What do you face? What are you going to do about it? You say, well, God, I don't know what to do. It's too big, but my eyes are on you. He says, okay, here's what we're doing. We're going to sing and praise into the battle. You say, well, that's nuts. He says, do it. What are you going to do? Look what unfolded here. Verse 23, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. So this massive army that was too big for them to take on had killed each other, not a person alive. No one had escaped. And they had come to attack Jehoshaphat and his people. So when Judah came to the place overlooking there, he sees that the bodies are all over the place. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Barakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So who fought the battle? Just what it says, the Lord fought. Who's fighting your battles? If he's not fighting your battles, you're just spinning your wheels. Now, I went over this with a group of men recently. Ephesians 6 talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. So as I said to them, if you're sitting next to your husband or your wife, you say, well, he's a slug, he's a piece of work, he's this, addicted to that, he's just a nightmare. And then you're going, well, wait a minute, what about her? She's this, this, and this. And so the devil gets you fighting each other. He gets you going at each other as though you are the enemy, a coworker, a friend, a boss, an employee. And the devil goes, okay, we got him going, let him go. They don't know that each other are not the enemy. Don't let them figure out the enemy is not those people, the enemy is him. So if you're gonna engage an enemy, engage on a spiritual level. So how do you do that? You pray. They had fasted. You take all these tools, but one of the tools we leave out is worship. Now, let me give you, let me ask you first this. What is your go-to worship song? Do you even have one? That's possible you don't have one. You say, well, I sing at church. I think of a song I hear on the radio. No, I'm talking about you got a sword. You got all these things. You fast, you pray, but in the heat of battle, marching into that situation, what song do you pull? You got a song? I'll give you one that works for me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. You say, well, what's that going to do? What did it just do? You say, well, I can't sing. If you're in the car by yourself, nobody knows you're singing anyway. You singed all that other mess and you can't sing. Well, I'm going to feel silly. No, you're not. You're going to feel rescued. So you're under attack. What do you do when you're under attack? I'm recommending you sing. You want to drive an enemy out? I know something about the devil. He doesn't want to sit around listening to one of God's kids sing to the Father. Not interested in that for 2 seconds. Okay, boys, everybody out. We're not staying for this. Back off. We can't take this, Satan. Get out of here. Get away from him. All right? Acts 16. So let's go down to, well, you got Paul is in Philippi and did not take the time to read this whole thing. He's doing his ministry in this city, meets a lady there who named Lydia. She sells purple fabric in that city of Thyatira, and she worshiped God. So he's in town, verse 16. Now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So she's basically this possessed slave girl, and they make a fortune off of her. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." So at least she got that right. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, so finally like, I am tired of this girl following us around saying this everywhere we go, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. Okay, now her owners are upset. So go down to verse, they take her to the magistrates, stir up this thing. These guys are making trouble in our city. Verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they're in the stocks. Now do not forget, they had been beaten with rods. For what? For delivering a servant girl? For coming to preach the gospel? And that's what they got. Now, you say, well, what would your attitude be? I don't know. I hope it would be good. But I would probably be in pain. I might be a little upset and like, this isn't fair. This isn't right. This isn't justice. This is blah, 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 whatever you want to come up with. But look at verse 25. But at midnight, and I don't know if it just took them a while, but finally at midnight, Paul and Silas are in there together, were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, you don't just pull that out of the bag. If that is not who you are, you'll never make it to midnight. But if you have a working relationship with God and you're singing along the way and in the challenges of life and you sing and worship your way into battle, and this is a part of your life, then you'll find yourself, even in the worst situation, beaten with rods in a prison, praying and singing, and now the whole prison, all the prisoners are listening. Now you say, well, what's the big deal on that? Who are these crazy people? We're in prison, they're in prison. Maybe they had been beaten, maybe they hadn't, but these two guys have been beaten. They're in the inner prison, in stocks, and they're praying and singing. If you live the Christian life the way God intended, sooner or later, someone is going to ask a reason for the hope that is within you, because it is going to get so absurd they will have no other way to explain it but that something's going on they don't understand. How can you go through these experiences, lose a child, lose a wife, lose a husband, whatever it is you've lost, whatever problem you're going through, and they hear you praying and they hear you singing? Now you say, well, wow, that's terrible for Paul and Silas. They got beaten, but cool for them, they sang. Well, look what the singing generated. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And Paul says, don't kill yourself. Nobody left. We're all still here. And the guy's basically, what do I need to do to be saved? And he got saved. So am I willing to be beaten with rods for Jesus' sake, imprisoned, to trigger an earthquake, to get a jailer saved? I ain't doing all that. Then what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, I'm comfortable. I've got my 401k, LMNOPQ, whatever you got. I'm set. I don't need these problems. Let me tell you something about life and being all set. You got trouble coming no matter how set you get. It's coming to your house. And sometimes it comes to your house because you're set without him, because he wants you to need him more than you think you are set. And he can unearth all of that stuff to get your attention. My buddy, whose wife got meningitis, survived it. They had to cut her feet off right below, both feet right below the knee. And he is the one that has told me for decades, if you have a problem that money can solve, you don't have a problem. He said, when you've got a problem that money can't solve, now you've got a problem. And I sent him a song the other day that my daughter Victoria sent me, and he listened to it and sent back my new favorite song. He loves music and he needs music because he's in a storm. What's the name of that song? No one ever cared for me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. It'll mess you up. I can't even say the title of the song without getting messed up. You know, maybe it's about time we got messed up by something other than what the world offers to mess us up. So the jailer gets saved. Romans 12. Just a couple more and we're out of here. A couple, three, few, maybe. Romans 12, 1. Same guy who was singing in the jail. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, written to Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable act of worship, could be translated. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you say, well, what's God want? Old Testament, he wanted animals. Animals all day long, slaughterhouse at the temple, Day of Atonement, perfect lamb. Jesus comes along, perfect lamb, sacrifice. So he doesn't want animals anymore. He wants me alive, presented as a living sacrifice. When you sacrifice something, you lose it. You abandon it. You leave it at the altar. So you say, Lord, I present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and this is a reasonable act of worship. You say, but I'm still alive. Yeah, but it's not your life anymore. You say, well, I don't want to lose my life. The scripture says if you hold on to your life, you will lose it. If you lose it for his sake, you'll find it. You want to find your life? Lose it. Take it to the altar and leave it. Reasonable act of worship, of service. And that's when your life kicks in. Are you going to have problems? Sure, you're going to have problems. Either way. Are you going to suffer? Yeah, either way. Better to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, last one, Revelation 5. And this is just one of them, of many, in the book of Revelation at least. Thank God, thank you God for the book of Revelation. At least we know how this thing ends. Man, this gives me so much hope, and I look so forward to this. You say, well, why do you look forward to stuff in the book of Revelation? Because I'm going to be there. I'm just going to be reading about it. Some of you people are just going to get to read about it. And by the way, if you think you're going to be singing worship songs in hell, you are not. Well, I'm on the highway to hell. Well, that'll be the last song you sing. Verse 6, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. Now look at that lamb. It looked like a slaughtered lamb, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. My prayers. And look at verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the four elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.